Today we decided we're going to take a little bit of a break from Basar B'Chalav because the next sugya in the Maseches Chulin over here happens to be a sugya about Mayim Achronim, and it relates to Basar B'Chalav because when we talk about Mayim Rishonim, Mayim Emtsayim, Mayim Achronim, so the Mayim Emtsayim business may have something to do with Basar B'Chalav. So that's how this pops up over here. So we're going to take a one-day detour and discuss Mayim Achronim. So let's take a look at the Gemara first. We're going to start from the two dots of Daf Kuf Hei Amud Aleph. So says the Gemara, and we'll try to figure out, based on this Gemara, all of the differences between the Tilas Yadayim Lefnei HaSu'uda, what we call Mayim Rishonim, what we call Tilas Yadayim actually, but what the Gemara calls Mayim Rishonim, and the Tilas Yadayim Achra Su'uda, the Mayim Achronim. Let's see how many differences there are, and then we'll have to try to be masbir what those differences are. Right, there is it's a yadua that mayim achronim chova, but we don't often really understand what that means. That mayim achronim is a chova. Does that what's chova? Is chova bigger than a mitzvah, smaller than a mitzvah, just different than a mitzvah? Another way of saying mitzvah. What exactly does it mean mayim achronim chova? I saw once, and I have in the sefer, the Ben Ish Chai in Parsha Shlach says that there are some people that when they wash Mayim Achronim, they say the words Mayim Achronim Chova, and that way they're yotzei the chiyuv of saying Divrei Torah at their Su'udah, because Mayim Achronim Chova is a Dvar Torah. So that's such a minhag that people who otherwise, I guess, don't say too much Torah at their Su'udah, they're yotzei by saying it over, but it only makes sense as a Dvar Torah if you know what it means. So let's see what the Gemara has to say about it. So I'm Rabbi Barav and I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ashkan. Mayim Rishonim Mitzvah, Ach V'Achronim Chova. Mayim Rishonim, and it's time before the meal, that's a mitzvah midrabanan, obviously, but Mayim Achronim is a Chova that after you eat, before you bench, that it's a Chova. Chova sounds like Pashtus, more Chamor than Stam a mitzvah. Tulsus raises the question in Dibra Maschel Mayim, like, well, the Mayim Nafkamina, whether you call it a chova or a mitzvah, meaning you got to do Mayim Rishonim also. So the Mayim Nafkamina that you call it a chova. So we'll discuss that in more detail later, in what sense it might be even more chamor than a mitzvah. So that's one difference. One difference between Mayim Rishonim, Mayim Achronim is Mayim Rishonim is a mitzvah. Mayim Achronim sounds like it's even more severe. It is an absolute chova. So Meisvei, they ask Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashkan, Mayim Rishonim Ve'achronim Chova Emtsayim Rishus, that we have another brisa that tells us both Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim are a Chova, and it's only Emtsayim that are Rishus, so nothing's a mitzvah. It's only Chova and Rishus, and Emtsayim are the only ones that are Rishus. What in the world is Mayim Emtsayim? So Tosus points out in the name of Rabbeinu Shmuel, this is Tosus on the Beis Dibra Maschil Lo Shah. There's only one Tosfos in Amud Beis, so it's in that one Tosfos in Amud Beis, where Tosfos points out in the name of Rabbeinu Shmuel that if you're in between eating two courses, two different foods, nothing to do with Basar B'Chalav. They're both Basar, or they're both Chalav. It was the practice that they would wash in between. Okay, that's a Rishus. Whereas Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam that no, the Gemara is talking about between eating a Tavshil Shel Basar and a Tavshil Shel Gvina. Oh, we just discussed that. Tavshil Shel Basar. And Tavshil Shel Gvina, not actual meat, not actual milchigs, but the French fries from Carlos and Gabby's, and then you want to have the cheese balls, not cheese balls, but the French fries from the pizza shop where they fry it in the same oil as the, whatever cheese things they're frying. I don't know what, so that would be cheese sticks, I don't know, whatever. Okay, whatever it is that they, what? Mozzarella sticks, exactly. So that would be, that's where you would need an etila in between, according to Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, but that's, but the Gemara's main point over here is, how can you say that Mayim Rishonim is a mitzvah? In the second brice over here, we're saying that Mayim Rishonim is a chova, and so Gemara mitzvah, l'gabi rishus, chova karima. When compared to a rishus, a mitzvah is like a chova, meaning it's much more severe than a rishus, so everything is relative, and therefore we're allowed to call it a chova in that context. Kufa, Mayim Rishonim V'Achronim Chove Emtsayim Rishus Rishonim Notlin Bein B'Kli Bein Al Gabi Karka. Ooh, so now we have Chilik number two. Mayim Rishonim you could do whether it's in a Kli or whether it's Al Gabi Karka, meaning when you pour the water over your hands, you could pour it into a basin, into some sort of Kli, or you could pour it directly on the ground. But Achronim ein notlin ela bekli. Mayim achronim has to land in a kli. It cannot go al gabe karka. Wow, so that explains the min of Yisrael that Judaica stores sell mayim achronim dishes, whereas they do not sell mayim rishonim dishes. What do they sell? They sell washing cups for mayim rishonim, but the assumption is you don't need a dish for the mayim rishonim to go into. But for some reason, there's this assumption that by mayim achronim, you need a dish for the mayim achronim to go into. And that's based on this Gemara, that mayim achronim is only bekli. So says Gemara, va'armila, there's another girsa that says it differently than a notlin al gabe karka, that you're not allowed to pour it al gabe karka. Instead of saying a notlin elo bekli, it says just don't pour it on the ground. So says my benai, what's enough to mean whether you say that mayim achronim is only on the ground or is only bekli, or you say it can't be on the ground? Zikabinayu kinsa. The nafkamina is what if you have just like chips of wood or something like that, that you could pour it onto. So according to the first lashon, it's a problem because it's not a kli. But according to the second lashon, it's fine because it's not al gabe karka. So what would be a nafkamina for us in our kitchens, right? We have sinks. So is a sink a kli? That's mechubar al karka. It doesn't have a status on the kli. But is it al gabe karka? It's not really al gabe karka. So that would be our modern version of the nafkamina that the Gemara is saying, l'chora, right? That would be the nafkamina. Then a third difference between mayim rishonim and mayim achronim. Mayim rishonim notlin bein bechamin bein betzonein. When you wash before a meal, the temperature of the water is irrelevant. Obviously, on Shabbos in our modern kitchens, you need to be very careful. The temperature of the water is relevant because if you turn on a hot water tap on Shabbos, you're probably violating melacha d'oraisa of bishul. So that's where it becomes relevant. When you have most faucets in most kitchens are only one handle, so you don't have a cold water handle and a hot water handle. You only have one handle, so you have to be careful to move it all the way to the right, where it's only cold water that's going to come out. Sometimes people just pick it up in the middle, and in the middle it's giving you a mixture of the cold water and the hot water, which you might think is no big deal because it's way below Yatzoledah, so it's not bishul, but you don't realize that if any hot water is coming out of your hot water tank, then there's new hot water going into your hot water tank, and that water is getting heated up, and that's bishul d'oraisa, l'chora. So a person has to be careful. But in terms of netilas yadayim, on a weekday, nothing to do with Shabbos, on a weekday, so when you're washing mayim rishonim, it doesn't matter what temperature the water is. But when it comes to mayim achronim, a notlin ella bitzonin. Mayim achronim must be with cold water. Why? Mnei shechamin mefapin es yadayim, ve'ein ma'avirin es hazuama. Because the warm water will not be effective in removing the zuama, whatever mess you have from whatever you've been eating. It's not going to be removed by warm water. Mayim rishon natu meimachamei mitzonein, sam rav yitzhak bar yosef amar yanai, lo shanu ela she'ein hayad soledes behen. Aval yad soledes behen, ein notl men. If the water is so hot that it's yad soledes bo, then you can't even use it for mayim rishonim. So even mayim rishonim, it's not that the temperature is irrelevant. The temperature is relevant up to a point. The ikad basel sefer, and some say no on the sefer that achronim ain notin el betzonin, that you're supposed to use cold water for mayim achronim, but avol bechamin lo. I'm Rabbi Yisufar Yosef. I'm Rabbi Yane lo shanu elo sheyatzal ledespen. Avol ein yatzal ledespen notin that when we say that you have to use cold water for mayim achronim, it doesn't have to be freezing cold. It just has to be below yatzal ledespo. Ooh, but that would be a chiddush. That would mean mechlal de rishonim avol sheyatzal ledespen. The mayim rishonim could be really hot. It could even be yad soledes bo. Let's just finish up the Gemara over here. So emtsayim rishus. We said mayim emtsayim is a rishus. Amar nachum lo shanu ella bein tavshil l'tavshil. That's only between two dishes. Aval bein tavshil l'gvina. But if you're having tavshil shel basar and then gvina, then chova. Then it becomes an absolute chiyuv to wash mayim emtsayim. Now, why do we do mayim achronim? So far, all we've seen about mayim achronim is halachos about mayim achronim. That there are three differences between mayim achronim and mayim rishonim. And we've seen that mayim achronim is very severe, that we're going to call it a chova. chova, not just a mitzvah, but a chova. But we've given nothing as far as why we do mayim achronim. Why is it the mayim achronim is so serious? There's a kind of salt called melech sdomis, and if it gets into your eyes, it will cause one to become blind. And since people eat salt, and they would typically have salt after their meal, for that was their practice, we have to be choshish that some of the salt that you have is melech sdomis, even though you didn't go looking for the package in the store that says melech sdomis. But sometimes when they sell salt, they mix all different kinds of salt, and some of the salt that you may have mixed in with your regular salt is melech sdomis. So we're choshesh that happened, and therefore we don't want you to rub your eyes and blind yourself. So the Chacham said you have to wash your hands at the end of the meal in order that you don't blind yourself at the end of the meal. Amar Abaye umishtakach kikurta bekura. This you find like one little kernel of this salt in a whole kur of melech. Meaning it's very little. You're going to find very little of it, but still Chazal thought it was worthwhile to make this din of mayim achronim and to call it so severe. Chova. Am le'ravach v'rid rav le'ravashi. Kol milcha. If someone measures out salt in order to sell it, but he's not eating, so mai, does he have to wash mayim achronim then also? Does he need an til sidayim after he's dealing with salt? So of course, meaning if the whole din of mayim achronim after a meal is because you might have touched salt in the meal, when you're a salt dealer, then of course you got to wash after you've been dealing with salt. Obviously, you're going to have to wash after dealing with salt. Then just one more line. The Gemara is going to then brings like eight different ma'amarim from Abaye, but the only reason it brings all eight is because the first one relates to mayim achronim. So we'll just read the first one. Amar Abaye Meresh Hava Amina, that he says, I used to think that Haidilo Mashu Maya Basroi Alara, that which we don't wash mayim achronim on the ground, like we learned that was one of the differences in mayim achronim, is Mishum Zuama. It's because you're washing gross, dirty grease off of your hands, and you don't want that all over the floor of your house. It's going to smell up your house. But Amar Limar, but then Rabba told me that the reason is not because of Zuama, rather it's Mishum Desharya Ruach Ra'a Lahim. It's because there's a Ruach Ra'a on the Mayim Achronim. Wow, this Gemara gave us so much information to process right now. So first of all, let's start with the basics. Is Mayim Achronim a ritual obligation, or is it just something that Chazal wanted us to be safe, and therefore they told us to do?
Different
Deos where?
Here.
Yeah, which Deos?
No, oh, if it's just based off of the... Oh, I guess here mostly just like a Sakana thing.
So the Gemara says, "Mipnei ma'am rumayim achronim chova." Why is it that they said "mayim achronim chova"? Right? Mipnei ma'am rumayim achronim chova. So the question, how do you, and the answer is melech sdomis. How do you understand that question? Is the Gemara asking why do we do mayim achronim, or is the Gemara asking why did Chazal speak in such strong terms about mayim achronim? Meaning, it could be we do mayim achronim for a variety of other reasons. But Chazal Davka spoke in such strong terms about Mayim Achronim because of the Melech Sdomis. So that, meaning, it could be that before the concern of Melech Sdomis, Mayim Achronim is mitzvah. And then this elevated Mayim Achronim beyond mitzvah to chova. Or it could be the Gemara is asking, no, why do I do Mayim Achronim? And the answer is Melech Sdomis. The only reason we do Mayim Achronim is Melech Sdomis. Huge nafkamina, what if you don't have Melech Sdomis? What if you can't even find melech sdomis? There's no melech sdomis in, you know, wherever we are. I don't know what's the name of the town that we're in. Whatever.
Wurzburgo,
right? You can't find melech sdomis in Wurzburgo. So if you can't find melech sdomis, so then, it you know, if you hold that the Gemara is just asking, no, of course it's a mitzvah, but why is it chova? That's on account of melech sdomis. So then you still have to do it. But if the whole, the Gemara is just asking, why do we do it in the first place? Maybe we wouldn't have to do it.
So it almost seems that if it's about melech sdomis, it's like a practical.
Yes.
Eyes, and then, but if it's
not
the
rule
for it, it seems like it's more like inherent.
Yes.
Same.
Okay.
Why would anyone have a havamina to pour yatzalet bowl and put your water on their head? The very definition of yatzalet bowl is that I don't want it.
Some people want to show that they're tough. No, definition of yatzalet bowl, actually, sorry, this is what I'm saying. The definition of yatzalet bowl is not that your hand can't handle it. It's that if you're not expecting hot water, that you would instinctively pull back from it. I mean, if you're just expecting lukewarm water, and then meaning if it's hot and you know that it's going to be hot, like then that
won't burn.
Right, it won't burn. Is the amount that could burn a baby's belly, but babies have very soft skin. They do not recommend trying, testing it on the baby. But that's the geder. It's kreisos shaltino k'michvisko, but it's not human hands, especially female human hands. They can handle anything. Like there are things like I'll be like, I can't touch this. And my wife is like, what are you talking about? Women have this. I don't know. They don't have nerve endings in their fingers. I don't know what it is, but so the people can handle things that are yatzaladis, but for sure. Okay, so from this Gemara, there's a lot to unpack over here. What is the true basis of Mayim Achronim? The differences between Mayim Achronim and Mayim Rishonim, and once it's a chova, what does that mean for us? In what way exactly is the chova element going to distinguish it from Mayim Rishonim? There is another Gemara in Maseches Brachos. The Gemara in Maseches Brachos tells us, Nun Gimel Beis, Tanu Rabbanan, Shemen Ma'akeh V'Sabracha, that if a person doesn't have the oil that they would put on their hands after the meal, it's Ma'akeh V'Bracha, you're not allowed to bench with it, without it. Tiv Rabbi Zulai, that's what Rabbi Zulai says. Rabbi Zivai Omer, Eino Ma'akeh, you can bench without the Shemen. Rabbi Acha Omer, Shemen Tov Ma'akeh, Rabbi Zumai Omer, Shem Shemezuam, Pasal Avoda, Kach Yadayim Zuam, Muspsuls L'Bracha. That just like you're not allowed to have someone who's tameh can't do the avoda, someone whose hands are all dirty and filthy is not allowed to say a bracha. And that was taught by Rabbi Zihumai. A coincidence that it was taught by Rabbi Zihumai, in all likelihood it's someone who is an Amora that doesn't really come up elsewhere in Shas, and he's named after this teaching. Meaning he's the Zuama guy. He's the one that taught us Zuama. I don't know. You got to check see if Zuhumai comes up anywhere else in Shas. Maybe it does. So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak. I know lo zilaiv, lo zivaiv, lo Zuhumai yadana. I don't even know who these guys are. Ela masnisi yadana. I just know the brises that are taught. Dam Rav Yidomarav armila b'masnisa tana. V'skadashte meilu mayim rishonim. V'isam kedoshim meilu mayim achronim. Ki kadosh ze shemen ani Hashem Elokeichem zu bracha. The pasuk lays out what the steps are to get to the point of benching. First, you need to wash at the beginning of the meal. Then you wash at the end of the meal. Then you put this fragrant oil on your hand, and then you bench. And it's all derived from a pasuk. What emerges from this gemara is two more bases for mayim achronim. One, zuhama, not melstomis, zuhama, just that your hands are gross after eating a meal. You're all full of grease and whatever else you were eating with your hands. And second, a pasuk, that somehow it's an elevation of kedusha, v'yisem kedoshim, elu mayim achronim. So now it seems that we have three different sources for the idea of mayim achronim. We have melech sdomas, which can blind you. We have zuhama, which is just stam filth. And then we have this pasuk of yisem kedoshim. And then comes a fourth source, but not really a source, but something that strengthens the inyan of mayim achronim, and that is the fascinating agadita in Maseches Yuma Daf Pei Gimlam Beis, where the Gemara tells a story when Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi were traveling, and Rav Meir was the kind of person who knew how to listen to people's names and figure out things about them based on their names, whereas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi were not interested in being medayik in people's names. This is based on the Gemara Maseches Brachos, that kishmo kein hu, we assume that a person is a reflection of their name, that a person's name is impactful on who they are, that the Gemara darshens it about a number of different people, right? Rus, how was Zochatav David, who serenaded HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Shiros V'Sishbachos, based on her name Rus, and the novel Kishmo Kein Hu. Novel was a novel. He was a terrible guy. So you have this notion that Kishmo Kein Hu, that people are typically like their names. So Rav Meir used to listen carefully when someone would say their name. So they were staying by an inn. Rav Meir says to the fellow, "What's your name?" And he says, "Kidar." So Rav Meir says, "Oh, this guy must be a Rasha. Kidar Tapuchos Heinu." That it's a reference to a generation that's very immoral. So the Gemara tells us that the other two Tanayim had no qualms about letting this innkeeper watch. You know, he said, "Do you want to put anything in the safe?" They say, "Oh yeah, here are all of our valuables. Please put it in the safe." And Ramirez is like, "I'm not trusting this guy to put it in the safe." And long story short, they ask for their money back, and the fellow says, "What money? I don't know what you're talking about." And they said, Ramirez says, "Ah, I knew this guy was a Rasha." Like, "Oh, you knew? How can you even tell us?" He said, "I was choshesh, but I wasn't going to, you know, go speak Lashon Hara, you know, but I was choshesh that he's not to be to be trusted." So so they had to come up with an etza of how they can get their money back from him. So they saw that the fellow had some lentils on his mustache, and after eating, he apparently didn't wash himself off after eating. So they went to his wife, and they told his wife, "Your husband said you should give us back our wallets." She's like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And they said, "Oh, he even gave a siman that you served him lentils for lunch, and that way you know that we're telling the truth, because how else would we know that he had lentils for lunch?" And she said, "Oh, it's a good siman." So she gave back the wallets. Husband came home and said, "Where's the wallets?" And the wife said, "Oh, the siman with the lentils, and I gave it back." And he killed his wife. So the Gemara says, "Mayim achronim hargu es nefesh." That Mayim Achronim killed somebody. So it doesn't mean Mayim Achronim killed somebody. It means failure to do Mayim Achronim killed somebody. Not in the way Chazal had predicted, right? Not in the, you know, Sumas Chashim Kameis. And we thought that the biggest risk was that the Melech Sodomus is going to blind the person. No, it actually killed the person. So that's, you know, whatever. That tells us about the severity of Mayim Achronim. Now, in addition to all that, so again, we had three things that the Gemara told us are possible bases for Mayim Achronim. Then we have this Agadita that highlights how Mayim Achronim, failure in Mayim Achronim can lead to death. In addition to all that, you know, when you look around in the Svarim about Mayim Achronim, I mentioned a few times already over the summer, there are certain topics that when you start looking around, even if you're not someone who's into Torah Sanistar and Pnimius HaTorah and all this stuff, you realize that you're hitting on something. You realize that there is a lot there. And this is one of those, and it's really in the Gemara already. Well, what's going on? Ruach Ra, with Mayim Achronim, what kind of Ruach Ra that you can't have on the ground? Mayim Rishonim can end up on the ground. Mayim Achronim is like, you know, somehow we get nervous that Mayim Achronim is around. There is definitely such an inyan when it comes to Mayim Achronim that there's some sort of major sod related to Mayim Achronim, and a person has to be super careful al pi Kabbalah about Mayim Achronim. In Yalkut Yosef, he summarizes some of the major Mar Makomos about the Kabbalistic side of this. He writes, Ayin Zohar HaKadosh Shemadgish Chiyuv Mayim Achronim. The Zohar emphasizes Mayim Achronim. The Kafachayim Kosov Ki HaSitra Achra Omed Al HaShulchan. Sitra Achra is, you know, the other side, the bad guy, that he's by the table. V'yachol Az Lishlot Alav Yoser Mishar Zmanim. And he has extra power at that time, more than any other time. Especially if reading alone, the zimun is what sends the sitra achra away. That this chova is actually a reference to some spiritual force, and a person can really end up lekav chova up in shemayim based on this. Ulefi shemayim achronim chelkam besudu nekroim chova. Chova aleinu losis tam chelek zeh shuzua masa yadayim. That apparently, when we do mayim achronim, we're ki'ilu giving the zuah masa yadayim as a matana to this negative spiritual force, whatever all of this means. Gam matamosha chelk beis ledas chachmei emes kedei shlo tekatrig alav midas hadin. The mayim achronim protects us from Midas Hadin. And the Kavachayim writes that Eov suffered as he did because he wasn't careful enough about Mayim Achronim. Chuvus min Hashemayim, what's the Shal Chuvus? Where is he? There he is. What? Not Rabbeinu Tam.
Not Rabbeinu Tam. The Tosfos is from
Shemayim. Yeah, it's the Bala Tosfos that Rabbeinu Tam. I think it's Rabbi Yaakov, I don't remember his name. One of the Balei HaTosfos used to go to sleep at night, and then he would ask Shailas. in his dreams up in Shemayim, and then he'd wake up in the morning and he'd write down the tshuvas that he got min haShemayim. So there's a whole tshuva sefer called Shalos HaTshuvos min haShemayim. Very kishmo kenu. That's these were the shalos that he asked min haShemayim, which is fascinating. Like you would imagine that if you had an opportunity to do that, you would go up to Shemayim and say, Sadik v'ralo Rasha Matovra. You know, like he would ask, like, what bracha do you say on granola bar? You know, like he would ask, like, you know, like a regular halacha question. What do you think about tefillin b'rabbeinu tam? You know, like it wasn't. But anyway, in Shuvas Min HaShemayim, Rav Vadia has a whole tshuva about whether Shalos Shuvas Min HaShemayim has more authority, less authority, or equal authority to any other Shalos Shuvas sefer from Rishon. Meaning, the svar to say more authority is Shuvas Min HaShemayim. The svar to say less authority, Lo b'shamayim, or equal authority, because he was also a balatosos. After he heard the answer, he probably thought about it before he wrote it down, so it's probably the same as any other balatosos. He sides like the third side, that it's like any other rishon. He would treat it like any other rishon. But anyway, in Shalos Shuvos Min HaShemayim, he writes that he shiva lo min haShemayim al yedei shelas chalom shemayim rishon v'achron dover shebekdusha hein v'kol dover shebekdusha mekel bo mekim lo yama v'shnosa. That both mayim rishon and mayim v'achron are dover shebekdusha, and someone who's mekel about a dover shebekdusha, they're going to be mekel on his expected lifespan. Okay. Sefer Kava Yashar also highlights this idea that people are makel on this and they don't realize how severe this is. Fine. So now, we have all these different reasons for Mayim Achronim. L'chora many nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one is manazah that we don't have millstones. If it's about Zuama or about Kedusha, I don't care that we don't have millstones. Still got to do it. But if it's about millstones, maybe when there's no millstones, you don't have to do it. Nafkamina number two. Let's say a person forgot to wash Mayim Achronim, and in the middle of benching, he realizes that he forgot to wash Mayim Achronim. If you say that it's about Yadayim Mezuhamos and you're not allowed to say a bracha with Yadayim Mezuhamos, or it's about some inyan of Kedusha, the Yisam Kedoshim, in order to say a bracha, it could be you got to stop and wash so that you may continue saying a bracha. But if it's about Melech Stomus, it could be that the concern is not that you're going to rub your eyes during benching. It's just that before you leave the table, you got to wash. So maybe you could finish benching. You wouldn't be mafsik in the middle of benching, and then you could wash afterwards. Another nafkamina is, what if you already finished benching? You finished benching, and then you realize you didn't wash Mayim Achronim. If it's about Melech Stomus, certainly you would have to still wash in order to avoid blinding yourself. But according to the other reasons that it's Yisam Kedoshim or Yadayim Mezuhamos, you're not benching anymore. So it's over. You're already benched. And say there's no fixing it. It's a Mubas L'Yuchalisko. There's nothing that you can do to fix it. You might say other brachas that day. The Rashba writes in the Tshuva, in Chelek Aleph, in Tav Chuf Ches, that Yadayim Mezuhamos are pasul lebracha, only means brachas amazon. Other brachas will be allowed to say with Yadayim Mezuhamos. So maybe that's a nafkamina. The Shabruin, Kofayal Sukkot Beis, writes the halacha that when you find water afterwards, you should still be notal yadav because of the chashash of melech stomus. That's how he paskins la halacha, that you should still wash. Yalkut Yosef quotes poskim that disagree with that, but you could see that that would be a nafkamina. So those are three of the nafkaminas, but we're going to see, if we have time, that every halacha relating to Mayim Achronim comes back to this. It comes back to these three possibilities of where Mayim Achronim comes from.
Is the existence of Ruach
Ra
also? Like, also
so Pashtus is that there is an existence of Ruach Ra now. Yeah, Pashtus is that there should be. We do until Sadaim in the morning, right? Based on, partially at least, based on Ruach Ra, Machlokes Rishonim, the beginning of quoted in Beis Yosef, the very beginning of Aruch Chaim, whether it's based on Ruach Ra or Yadayim Maskanios and you touch Mekamos HaMetanafim and your body, but we're choshish for both. That's why we mark to use a kli in the morning and we do it three times, right? Meaning we do assume that there is this element of Ruach Ra.
So according to Rabbi, that nowadays
people
would say that Ruach Ra is Ruach Ra. Yeah. Isn't there a Masorah from Mishum Zalman
Okay, so that's what I was saying. Pashas is yes, but there is also a possibility that Ruach Ra has at least been severely diminished nowadays. The Rambam writes says there's no such thing as Shadim at all. So Yaakov Kamenetsky, in a famous comment in Emes Yaakov, says, How could he say that? It's against every Gemara. Like even the Gemaras and Brachas, apparently we need such a big base marriage because there are like millions of Shadim here with us, right? Meaning that's what the Gemara says. Right? So what does it mean? How can the Rambam just deny half a Shas? So Rabbi Yaakov Kabanes says, no, what the Rambam says, there's no such thing as Shadim, means there's no longer such a thing as Shadim, because Ruchos Hatuma and Ruchos Ra'a exist only to the extent that Ruchos of Kedusha exist, because there's got to be this balance in the world. And to the extent, says Rabbi Yaakov, that we no longer have Nevuah, we no longer have Ruach HaKodesh, we also no longer have some of the negative forces that we once had. Okay, so exactly how to do the math on that, I don't know. You know, exactly how to make the equation work out, you know, and what we do and what we don't have, which types of Ruchos Ra'a we have. But that's how he explains the Rambam, that we don't have Shadim. That the Rambam is not chas shalom going against all the Gemaras, he is saying that we no longer have Shadim. There are those that say that, of course, we had Shadim until the Rambam said that we don't. And once the Rambam passed that we don't, they all went away. Cause, that's how the Rambam passed. You know, so, okay, maybe. Okay, now the Rishonim already bothered that the Gemara over here in Chulin sounds like the reason for Mayim Achronim is because it's Sakana Melech Sodomus that you find on your hand and you could blind yourself. Whereas the Sugi of Brachos doesn't sound like that's the reason at all. It sounds like it's the din of Kedusha, or maybe Yadayim Zuamos, which is a little closer to Melech Sodomus. So Tosus and Masechus Brachos over there writes that, so there are several yeshuvim of Hadua, and how you miyashe these two sugyas is obviously going to have a huge impact on halacha. Tosus and Masechus Brachos writes that the chiyuv is only because of Melech Sodomus. We don't have Melech Sodomus, and therefore we don't have to do Mayim Achronim anymore. You could say you could bench without Mayim Achronim. He says, "Umiu anashim unagim haragil litol yadayim acharas suuda vade lehem makem samtil varuk samazon sichli tell his name called the varuk samazon." If you're a real mafunak and you don't like having dirty hands and you would never like go about your day with some grease on your hands, so for sure you should wash my machronim. But according to Tosos, the mitzvah of yisim kedoshim is just not to have filthy hands. How do I define filthy? However you define filthy. Meaning whatever you're comfortable with is not filthy. And whatever you're not comfortable with, that's filthy. So do you really have to do Mayim Achronim? No. But if your hands are gross to the point that you would define them as gross, then the Yisam Kedoshim requires that you wash your hands. That's Tosos, that's the most makil of all the shiflas.
According to Tosos, if we're generally washing with soap and water, Mayim Achronim, you wash with soap and water.
If you're not comfortable, let's say you're OCD, so you're constantly washing your hands, right? So then l'chor, Mayim Achronim, you have to wash your hands in such a way. Yeah. The Rush in Maseches Brachos gives a different has a different approach. There are four approaches. The Rush has approach number two. He says V'yesh Lomar Mishum Kedusha Amru Shein Mitzvah U'Mishum Sakanas Melech Sodomus Hasikva La'asot Zechova. Ooh, says the Rush, they were Masakin Mayim Achronim as a mitzvah similar to Mayim Rishonim. That's Kedusha, just like Mayim Rishonim. And then, because of the concern of Melech Sodomus, it was elevated to a different level called Chova. So it turns out, I don't care if you have Melech Sodomus or you don't, it's at least as chashuv as Mayim Rishonim, according to the Rosh.
The Rosh says the same thing about using oil nowadays?
That Vizim Kedoshim, since it said oil. Yeah, maybe. The Rosh then goes on, Aval Rav Haim Yishem Gaon Piresh, Tahada Amin and Hacha Shem Mitzvah Mishum Kedusha, Hainu Limivarech. Ooh, a different chilek. If he shemaskar Shem, Tzorach Lita Liyadim Kodim Shem Yivarech, Avim Tilos Ha'acher, Emenim Mishum Kedusha, Amin Yasakana Bavad, Vim Ratzvei Enotim Kodim Bracha. Wow. Says the Rosh in the name of Rav Haim, that it depends who you're talking about. You see, the halacha is, in Shulchan Aruch, that only one person benches, and everybody else listens to benching. That's how halacha mefresh is, by the way, in Shulchan Aruch, and that's what the Gemara always assumes. One person benches, everyone else listens to benching. Why don't we do that? Why do we have everybody bench? Because we assume nobody listens. That we're all bad listeners. If you have one person bench, nobody's... I mean, haraya, what's the greatest raya? Chazar Sashat, right? That's the greatest raya. That happens all the time. And it's karav v'bracha l'vatal. The Shulchan Aruch says if you don't have nine people listening, and there are lots of Chazar Sashat that are karav v'bracha l'vatal, because you're supposed to be listening to every word during Chazaras HaShatz. So the real halacha is that one person benches and everybody loses. But someone told me Rabbi Chait Yeshiva in Farakwe, he has one person bench and everybody else listening, because he figures that amongst B'nai Yeshiva, of course you could trust them to listen. So you can do what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. You don't have to. Too many Jews still do it. Okay. So Rav Haigon suggests that when it comes to one makes sense. Are you half Temani?
I'm not Temani,
yeah. Oh, are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay. So that makes sense. Okay. So what was he saying? Yes, so Rav Haigon makes a different chiddush. That if you're the one who's benching, so saying a bracha you can't do when you have dirty hands. So that's when you say Nisim Kadoshim, Yodayim Zuamos, that's the sugi and brachas. But as far as Melts Domus, that has nothing to do with whether you're saying a bracha. It's got nothing to do with the bracha. So that's for everybody. So everybody's got to wash Mayim Achronim for Melts Domus. The Mevarech has to wash Mayim Achronim when it comes to for the sake of Nisim Kadoshim. That's approach number three. And therefore, if you don't have Melts Domus anymore, only the Mevarech will have to wash, and no one else will have to wash. So it's a little bit different than Tosfos, because Tosfos says if you don't Melts Domus anymore, nobody will have to wash. So there's a little more machmir over here, the Mevarech will have to wash. Or for us, where everybody benches, everybody's going to have to wash. And then you have the Rif. The Rif over here, Maseches Chulin, holds that the Meikar Din of Mayim Achronim is really about Melts Domus and Mishum Sakana. But once they were misakin at Mishum Sakana, then they became much more choshish for every other Sakana. Meaning, the Rif would say, I agree with Tosfos. It's all about Melech Domus. But I don't agree with Tosfos that once Melech Domus is gone, we no longer have to worry about it. Because once they were misakin at Mishum Melech Domus, you have to dream up any possible Sakana that could come from Mayim Achronim and be choshish for that. Meaning, we would not have been choshish for Mayim Achronim just because some crazy guy murdered his wife on account of Mayim Achronim. But you see, that's also a sakana, not a legitimate concern of a sakana in its own right. But once they were misakin mishum sakana, so then that's enough to keep it. It's enough to keep Mayim Achronim.
What's the story, though? It doesn't really make much sense. Like, either there's sakana or there's not. And if it is.
Meaning he's assuming that there's a change in the default. That once Chazal were Misakim, Mishamel Stomach, the default now is that you gotta watch. Unless you can prove that you don't have to. So the only way to prove that you don't have to is you have to be able to show that there's absolutely no Sakana.
Anything can be a Sakana.
Yes. See Orchel Sadiq, right? You know, the Maestro, yeah. Anything can be a Sakana. It's true, but that's how the Rif understands. Meaning, what the Rif does, that none of the other Rishonim really did, is he accounted for the Agarata Gemara, right? That it actually adds color to the Halacha over here. That Agarata Gemara is demonstrating something for us, La Halacha. So that's a fascinating idea of the Rif.
But he's using that Agarata Gemara as a Raya. Person who not doing Mayim Achronim would potentially make somebody kill somebody else, the person probably wouldn't do Mayim Achronim just because it's a Tachana Dabran. He's willing to steal and kill.
Ah, you can't have such questions. Meaning we're going to keep Mayim Achronim because of and also that's not true. Meaning people are strange. They observe certain things, don't observe other things. People daven with their talus over the head, a longish monastery, and then go out to work and steal all day. You know, like people do all sorts of, you know, that's not, there's no.
Basically, Mark, you say that Mayim
Achronim applies to. Oh, yeah, that's what it sounds like, right? The Gemara sounds like you got to wash off your beard not to have, you know. I have a friend who has a nice, hefty beard, and I noticed some food in his beard once. He's like, no, I'm saving it for later. And he wouldn't clean it out. It drove me crazy. Okay, so my machronim, bismanazeh. Chova versus mitzvah. The Ran in Maseches Chulin says that chova means chova is stronger than a mitzvah. Meaning chov is mishum and pashas is what he means is that chov is mishum sakana chamir sakanta meisuna, and therefore we have to be more machmir about mayim achronim than we do about mayim rishonim because it relates to sakana, and therefore the Beis Yosef writes in the name of the Orchos Chaim in Simchot Chayalif that if a person ate and he has mayim achronim, and he's going to need to eat another meal that day. For example, he has mayim achronim for after his second su'udah on Shabbos, but he's going to need to eat a su'udah shlishis, but there's not enough water to wash for su'udah shlishis as well. He should wash mayim achronim, even though that means he's not going to be able to have su'udah shlishis, because he already became chayiv in the benching for this meal, and he has to do what he can to be allowed to bench this meal. So the mayim achronim for this meal comes first. If he has shemen arev or yayin, he could be menachem v'yadav mevarech. If he has something else, I can clean off his hands. So good to use that something else. Says the Magen Avraham in Kuf Pei Aleph that it sounds like if you want to eat and you have only water to wash once, you only have enough water to wash once, you should wash mayim rishonim, not achronim, because it's usur to eat until you know till yadav. So he says, I don't understand. What would be a situation where mayim achronim is more chamor than mayim rishonim? And it sounds like from the Beis Yosef, whatever chiyuv you have right now, you got to do. And whatever comes later, okay, so you'll have to deal with it later. And if you don't have any way to deal with it later, you won't have to deal. Whatever chiyuv you have right now, you have. So says Magen Avraham, not a kasha. It could be nafkamina is in a situation where it would be a tircha to find mayim rishonim. So you're camping somewhere and there's no readily available water. So how much do you have to do matriach yourself to find mayim rishonim? When do we say, like you ever on a trip, you know, chalamoi trip or something, and you're in the car and you got like another 3 hours to go, and your parents are like, just don't touch the bread. Just don't touch the bread, right? So what is that? Is that based on a halacha. Maybe people don't apply it exactly the way the halacha appears, but that's based on the halacha, that there's only so much you have to be matriach yourself to go find mayim, but maybe that's only for mayim rishonim. Maybe there's a greater chiyuv for mayim achronim because of the sakana element. And l'chora, again, the issue of whether mayim achronim applies at all nowadays is totally in this understanding. Is it about yadayim mezuhamos, which we maybe aren't so makbid about, or maybe because we use forks and knives, we're not so makbid about it. We don't have such yadayim mezuhamos. Is it about melech sedomos, which we simply don't have, or is it about the some kedoshim, which may be some ritual obligation? So the Rambam writes in the sixth paragraph of the Brachos Halacha Gimel that a person should be choshesh even for the reason of melech sedomos, even though we don't have melech sedomos. But you don't know, maybe we have other salts that have similar qualities to melech sedomos, that have similar attributes to melech sedomos, and might be able to do the same thing. Beis Yosef quotes the Rambam, but then Beis Yosef in Shulchan Aruch seems to, you know, the way someone expressed it to me once, is if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, he says, Mayim Achronim Chava, and then you read the whole seminar, at the end he says, just kidding. So, like, but he doesn't say it exactly like that, but he seems to, like, go in both directions, right? He starts out by saying, Mayim Achronim Chava. Then it's Sif Yud, he quotes Shita Satosos, that we're not knowing to wash Mayim Achronim because we don't have Melech Sedomos. So, which is it? Is it Mayim Achronim Chava, and it's so serious? Or do you paskin like Tosos? So the Achronim struggle with how to understand the Shulchan Aruch. In the Sefer Nechpa B'Kesef, he says that the Shulchan Aruch didn't like the minhag that Tosfos suggested not to wash, and that's why in Sif Aleph he writes, Mayim Achronim Chova. And later on he mentions that there are those that have this minhag, and they're relying on Balei HaTosfos. He says, you know what this is like? This is like when the Shulchan Aruch has a Stam and then a Yesh Omrim. You know, the Shulchan Aruch sometimes will say, here's the Halacha, oh, and Yesh Omrim! And the Halacha is always like a Stam against the Yesh Omrim. So if in Sif Aleph he just says, Mayim Achronim Chova, and then in Sif Yud, he's going to tell you, oh, there are those that are knowing not to. That's like a Stam and then a Yesh Omrim. Needless to say, many, many, many Jews rely on what the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Yud, because it sounds like in Sif Yud he's passing like Tosos. Mayim Achronim Chova is a good way to introduce the Simen, because that is the expression that Chazal used, and that might be the Pashtos of the Shulchan Aruch. Mayim Achronim Chova, yes, Mayim Achronim is a Chova, that's what the Gemara says. By the way, Bisman Hazeh, since we don't have Melech Sedomos, he tells you at the end, we no longer have a requirement to wash Mayim Achronim. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that even though Tosfos says it's not knowing Bisman Hazeh, Tosfos is trying to be Melamed Zchus on those who are being Mekel. But Tosfos would also be Moda that it's a better idea to wash Mayim Achronim Bisman Hazeh. In Rav Nevin Sal's Ha'aros on the bottom of the Mishnah Brura, he says that that someone who by going out to wash Mayim Achronim is going to miss out on the Zimun, what should he prefer? Better to wash Mayim, meaning they're starting the Zimun now, and you're Makar on Mayim Achronim. Should you participate in the Zimun, or should you be Makar on the Mayim Achronim? So Nevin Sal said, it depends where you live. In Eretz Yisrael, Mayim Achronim is more important. In Chutz La'aretz, Zima is more important. Why? Because Melach Sodomus exists in Eretz Yisrael. Melach Sodomus doesn't exist in Chutz La'aretz. So since Melach Sodomus exists in Eretz Yisrael, he thinks you are. The Balei Tosfos were writing for people in France. They weren't writing for people in Eretz Yisrael. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, you still have to be more makbid about the Melach Sodomus. The story I heard, I don't know if it was ever verified, but someone told me that when Avraham Lichtenstein, Zichrono Livracha, decided to go to Harvard for graduate school, he held that it was a makom sakana, it was a spiritual makom sakana. And when a person goes to a makom sakana, yes, he should take on a chumrah in order to... to have an extra shmirah in the makom sakana. The chumrah that he took on was mayim achronim. That's what they say. That's what Rav Aaron was always makbid his whole life about, very makbid about mayim achronim. That's, I don't know if that's a true story or not a true story. I don't remember. I was in Gush for Shabbos once or twice. I remember seeing him running in or out or whatever to wash mayim achronim, but that's the maisa that they tell. Also, like, it sounds a little strange, because, like, when he was in Harvard, he wasn't really in, meaning, he was still learning, I don't know, 8 to 10 hours a day with the Rav, you know? Like, it's not like he was just hanging out on campus at frat parties, you know? Like, he went to classes as a graduate student. He wasn't even there for undergraduate. I don't know. Anyway, yeah.
If you are Machbid on the acronym, would all, like, the different teams that are checking our list, not talking in between, and if you're talking injury wash and...
So that's good. Yeah. So let's see. So yeah, let's get to all that.
Why would my Rishonim glorify today? Meaning, if there's a question whether
my Rishonim is not about Zuama or.
No, we're talking about Rufa.
It's really about Tumah. That you die in Shnios and we wash our hands before we touch bread because of Truma, and that became a. You know, because Truma can become a Shlishi, so the Chazal were misakin that hands have a din of a Sheni Lutuma. So that's a takana that was about something in particular, and even though the Tam no longer applies, the Gzeira still applies. That's a separate. So there's a Machlok Rishon, whether you say a Bracha on Mayim Achronim. It could be that this depends on the Sugya, like we're saying. The Rush quotes Yesh Min HaRishonim that you should say Bracha Al Rechitzas Yadayim. Why not Al Netilas Yadayim, Al Rechitzas Yadayim? Because the fundamental nature of the Chiyuv is different. Like we just said, when it comes to Mayim Rishonim, it's much more ritual in nature. When it comes to Mayim Achronim, yes, it's a mitzvah that they were misakin, but they were misakin it with the intention of getting rid of the Zuama. So therefore, be Al Rechitzas Yadayim. Then the Rush quotes from Rav Amram, not say a Bracha at all. So if Mayim Achronim is only Mishum Sakana, and it's not really a ritual Netila, so you understand that you're not going to say a Bracha. Shulchan Aruch paskins that we don't say a Bracha on Mayim Achronim. The Shmura says, you don't make a Bracha on the Shmira from Sakana. If you strain your water that was Mayim Shalana or something that was left overnight, and you're worried that there may be some venom in it, so it needs to be strained out or something, you don't make a Bracha on such an action. You don't make a Bracha on anything that's just to protect you from Sakana. The Zohar also says we do not recite a Bracha, but for a very different reason, because remember, Mayim Achronim, that's the Chelek that we're giving to the Sitra Achra, so we don't say a Bracha for the Sitra Achra, again, whatever that means. And then there's a Tshuvas Rav Yah, who quotes from Rabbeinu Yitzchak ben Malki Tzedek. They say a Bracha because the Chiyuv is derived from a Pasuk. It's Kadashim Yisem Kadoshim. So it sounds like it's a Din Netilas Yadayim, not that dissimilar to Mayim Rishonim. And therefore it should require a Bracha. You have to say then that the Gedra of the Mitzvah is derived from the Pasuk, or a formal Takana Midrabanan, and not just something that's about Melech Sodomus. So you have all three possibilities. That no Bracha, yes Bracha, and yes Bracha, but Al Rechitzas Yadayim. And that corresponds to three possibilities. Is Kadashim Yisim Kadoshim? That would be yes bracha. Is it Yadayim Mizuhamos? That would be yes bracha, but Al Rechitzas Yadayim. Or is it Melech Sodomus? In which case, no bracha. So you have all of those possibilities. What about women in Mayim Achronim? You ever notice whenever you're at someone's house, like the women just don't wash Mayim Achronim? Meaning even if they hand out a Mayim Achronim dish, they just bypass all the women?
Yeah.
Like, so where does that come from, that women don't wash Mayim Achronim? Meaning, let's think about it. If it's about Melech Sodomus, Well, women also, they're also eating. Why wouldn't they have a concern about something? We don't care if they go blind. I mean, that also matters. We care that women shouldn't go blind either. So where does it come from? See, if it's from Yisam Kedoshim, and if it's Ma'avir Mesazuma, in order to say a bracha, there shouldn't be any chiluk. And Kol Shekein, if it's Meltzdomus, there shouldn't be any chiluk between men and women. So there is a machlokas haposk. But if it's all just al pitoros hanistar, so there is a thought, an idea that you find in poskim that any minhagim that are al pi kabbalah women don't do. That minhagim that are al pi toras hanistar, women don't have a chelak in nistar, and they women are more interested in the aesthetic, in the world of Gashmi, and more connected to the world of Gashmi, and therefore that world of Nistar is something that women don't have a chelek in, don't have a shaychus to, and they don't do on hagos based on Nistar. That's what Rav Sturmbach writes in his Shuvas. Again, whatever that means. There is a machlokas aposkin, what to do. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld in his Shuvas Salmas Chaim says that it's important that everyone should let women know that they're also chayiv in mayim achronim. Why not? Be some kedoshim, melech stomus, yadayim izuhamos. The Aruch HaShulchan also says, you got to warn, you got to teach b'nei beiso, it's a person's responsibility, to teach all b'nei beiso that they should wash mayim achronim. And nashim are bichlal, women are included in that. In the Tshuva's Maimer Mordechai, which is Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, the former chief rabbi, chief Sephardic rabbi of Israel, his son, Shmuel Eliyahu is the Rav, is the chief of Svat. I was on a radio show with Shmuel Eliyahu. A guy called me up. A guy emails me. Would you mind being interviewed for the radio about Corona? We want to let people know what people in America are experiencing, you know, with the coronavirus. It will be a conversation, you know, on the radio. No big deal. So I said, okay, not thinking that the guy is emailing from Israel. And it means the whole interview is going to be in Hebrew. So I wasn't even thinking that. I was just, yeah, no problem. So then like 10 minutes before the interview, he's like, by the way, it's all going to be in Hebrew. So you ready? I'm like, no, my Hebrew is really, really bad. He's like, nah, it can't be that bad. I'm like, I'm telling you, it's that bad. So they had me with Rav Shmuel Eliyahu that, you know, he'd ask me a question. I would, in very broken Hebrew, try to answer the question. Then he would say to Rosh Malaya, what do you think of that? Rosh Malaya would be like, I have no idea what the guy said. I don't know what you want me to think of that. It was terrible. But anyway, so... I hope not. I really hope it's not online. It was awful. I mean, it would be embarrassing if I thought anyone that listened to it knows me, but, you know, or knows who I am, but I don't think so. So not so embarrassing. What's the saying? Oh, from Mordechai Eliyahu, Rosh Mel Eliyahu's son, writes, Umayata, Kimin Shalom Poskim, Shechov Elitol Yadav, Demayim Achronim, Im Mitam Melech Sedomus, Vadomel Melech Sedomus, O Mitam Sheyadayim Tiyan Nikiyos Lepnei Abracha, O Mitam Shal Asar Asatumah, Shuv Mekabalah, Kol Atayim Melech Sheyachim Vad Nalshim Nalshim, Kul Mechayav Demayim Achronim. Whoa, he says, even if it's based on Kabbalah, it's Shaykh to women as well. It happens to be Mordechai Eliyahu was also a Mekubal. He was a master of Kabbalah. In fact, he has a beautiful, beautiful introduction to the second volume of Shalos and Tshuvas, where he goes through the connection between Kabbalah and Halacha. Fascinating Mahalich, very different than Rav Avadya Yosef. You know, sometimes Ashkenazi Jews are a little bit don't appreciate the nuances of the Sephardic world, and we just like throw all Sephardim in like one category. You know, it's like imagine doing that with Ashkenazim, all Hasidim and Yekis and and Litvaks, they're all exactly the same. Very, very different minhagim. So there are Moroccan Sfarim, there are Tamani Sfarim, there. So Mordechai Eliyahu and Rav Avadya Yosef had very, very different ideas. It happens to be about halacha, and particularly about the relationship between Kabbalah and halacha. When it comes to when it comes to the relationship between Kabbalah and Halacha, Mordechai Eliyahu's Mahalich was that the Kabbalah and the Halacha always fit together. They aren't a contradiction. It's just that as we come closer to the Ikvas of the Mashiach, the Kabbalah leans the halacha in certain directions. Meaning, if you'll have a machlokas rishonim, and one side fits the Kabbalah better, so as we get closer to Tikvas Mashiach, that side of the machlokas is going to be more likely to be emphasized and followed than, like there's a discussion about exactly how audibly one should recite Shemona Esrei. So I'll be Kabbalah, not audibly at all. So he says the fact that most people have the minhag of saying Shemona Esrei totally silently, which is against Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to say loud enough that you're able to hear it. He says that's not a mistake. That's Ikvas de Mashiach happening. So people are following the Zohar. Meaning that's the way he understands that these Shitos always existed and we're just like leaning in that direction. Whereas Rav Avadia Yosef does not take that approach. Rav Avadia Yosef says, whenever it's Kabbalah against the halacha, we follow the halacha, and the Kabbalah is there to learn, but it's not there to follow in practice. Meaning, unless there's no halacha against it, we always follow the halacha against the Kabbalah. But anyway, so Mordechai Eliyahu suggests that al pi Kabbalah, there's no issue with women. Not just no issue, women are just as chayiv as men are al pi Kabbalah. So this is an interesting discussion, why it is that women have the practice of not washing mayim achronim. See, Rabbi Yaakov Emden actually suggests because women eat with forks and knives, not with their hands, and men are pigs. So that's why men need to wash mayim achronim, because they have yadayim mizuhamos, but women typically don't have yadayim mizuhamos. In the Sefer Alichos Bas Yisrael, he writes that Netilas Yadayim b'mayim achronim chiyuv hashovel l'nashim ka'nashim. He says kach amar li hagrasha zorbach zatzal. That Rav Shlomo Zalman said women are just as chayiv. V'hosiv sheyitachin v'anashim sheinim akvidos lintol mistamchos al maisa hamuva b'gemara shemayim achronim otziu isha mibayla. It could be that mayim achronim is a sore subject for women. Because remember that Gemara, that the woman and her husband, it was all bad stuff happened because of Mayim Achronim. V'av hargu es ha-nefesh, ayin chulun kubav amlav, yuma pe gimel and beis. U'michum kach nimnos mil kabel alatman tilazu. That's why they were never mekabel on themselves, Mayim Achronim. That's what he suggests. I don't know, I would have learned from the Gemara that they definitely should. That she died because they didn't do Mayim Achronim. They just would have done Mayim Achronim. Then they wouldn't... Went to turn out so badly.
Going back to the machlokas about brachos, even according to the Rashi Rabbia, so wouldn't we just say some brachos ma'aka, and therefore we're still sure to make a bracha? Because there are still other shitas that give different reasons for that problem.
Say again, if what?
Even according to the shitas, like within their shita, it would make sense that you say my machronim as a bracha. So wouldn't we just say there was some brachos ma'aka? Because of the other.
If you hold that, it's a sefer. If you hold that, it's a sefer. But you're allowed to paskin. You don't have to say it's a sefer. Yeah. But then it's how to interpret the Gemara. That's not called a sefer. For us, it may be a sefer. Now, what we're not going to have time to get into, because we're out of time now, is all of the details, which also all go back to this discussion. Like, for example, are you allowed to talk in between washing mayim achronim and benching? What about saying divrei Torah? What about just waiting? How much time can pass between mayim achronim and benching? Also, how much water? You ever see the minhag that people take the whole mayim achronim dish that serves 20 people is this big, and people just put like a teeny drop on their fingers. Where does that come from? Does that make any sense that would be the minhag? What happens to the water after you wash the mayim achronim? Can you leave it on the table? Why is it that every mayim achronim dish covers the water after you wash the mayim achronim? Can you pour mayim achronim in the sink? Can you wash it in the sink? Drying the hands after mayim achronim, are you dafka not supposed to dry your hands? Lowering your fingers when you wash mayim achronim. So all of these, you have to read the rest of the piece in the sefer. I do have one extra copy of my first volume, if anyone wants. Actually, I brought up two. Yeah, okay, sold. Belina, I'll bring up some. If guys want the second volume, I'll bring up, or the first one. Yisrael is going to keep a list, and you'll let him know. What?
You should bid for this last one.
You should bid for this last one. So I'll bring up Belina after Tisha B'Av. I don't know how many of the first